from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon. There was no guilty verdict in the ghost ship warehouse trial yesterday, rather a split decision for the two defendants. Anika Klein reports from Oakland.
Defendant Max Harris was acquitted of 36 counts of manslaughter, but the jury was split on their decision about ghost ship master tenant Derek Almena, who was facing the same 36 counts, one for each victim who died in the December 2016 blaze. As a result, Almena may face a retrial. The outcome left some of the victims' family members in tears. Here's David Gregory, father of Michaela Gregory, who died in the fire, describing how he feels after the verdict.
Disbelief. I mean, shocked. I mean, we were hoping for justice, but we didn't get justice today.
Judy Huff's son, Travis, also attended the electronic music party that was happening the night of the fire. She said she was hoping it would all be over now. But the possibility of a retrial means it'll drag on for her, too.
It's like the thing that never ends. I'm torn. I'm really, really torn by it.
Victims' families have also alleged in lawsuits that several Oakland city agencies failed to properly inspect the ghost ship warehouse building. For the California Report, I'm Anika Klein.
We turn now to politics. The California Republican Party opens its statewide convention near Palm Springs today. KQED's senior politics editor Scott Schaefer says the state GOP is facing enormous obstacles.
The numbers don't lie. Republicans now represent less than 24% of voters in California, compared with 43% who are Democrats. There are now fewer Republicans than independent or no party preference voters.
It's really near a bottom that we haven't seen before.
Rob Stutzman is a longtime GOP consultant, a mainstream Sacramento Republican who's distressed by how far his party has fallen in California.
Another way to look at it is Republicans may have lost about every legislative or congressional seat they could possibly lose.
Many trace the party's long, slow decline in California to the 1994 ballot measure Proposition 187, aimed at immigrants here illegally. That message helped drive away the state's growing Latinx and Asian populations and women. The GOP is placing its hopes in a new party chair, Jessica Patterson, the first Latina to hold that position.
Certainly there is a significance to it. It's not something that I ran on, but it certainly shows that there is a new day in the California Republican Party.
She says voters are ready for solutions that don't include more regulation or taxes.
Californians are waking up to what these failed Democrat policies have brought them, and I think that we have a huge opportunity here.
But GOP consultant Rob Stutzman says the party can't move forward as long as Donald Trump is president.
The California Republican Party needs Trump out of the way in order to move forward.
Meaning the best thing for Republicans is for a Democrat to win the presidential election. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Yesterday, we heard from Audrey Cooper, the San Francisco Chronicle's editor-in-chief, about Assembly Bill 5. That's a bill that would make it harder for companies to classify workers as independent contractors. Cooper says if it passes, delivery costs for newspapers would spike, and it'd be harder to hire freelancers. We called Carl Hall with the Pacific Media Workers Guild. He's a longtime San Francisco journalist, and he pushed back against Cooper's criticism of the bill.
The day-to-day basic work that a news organization does, fires, crime, city government, those should be employees doing that kind of work. And we have seen some organizations lean on freelance as an escape from the consequences of their own cost cutting. There's a place for freelancers, which essentially is to augment the bread and butter work that staff people do. But freelancers should not replace staff. And the trouble is, where is the line?
That line is what legislators and interest groups are trying to work out in Sacramento before the end of the legislative session. Turning to the Conception boat disaster, the growing list of victims includes the dive trip leader, teachers, high school students, and families. 33 bodies have been recovered. Yesterday, National Transportation Safety Board member Jennifer Hamendi shared what she called a harrowing story. She said one crew member woke up to a noise, left his bunk, and saw flames erupting from the galley area. Then the heat and smoke forced him to jump off the boat. She said the NTSB plans to raise the Conception, and it's looking at all possible sources of ignition. There will likely be many theories about what started the fire on the Conception. Divers and boaters are no doubt checking and rechecking their gear for safety. Our politics correspondent, Marisa Lagos, checked in with her dad, Steve Lagos, to hear his thoughts.
How is this impacting how you think about your own boat safety and sort of what changes you might make?
Yesterday, I went immediately online to see if there's such a thing as an inexpensive gasoline detector sniffer. Picked a mid-range one, ordered it. I should be getting it today. And just doing regular checking to make sure there's no fumes in your bilge, because I have a gasoline-powered boat with an outboard. So most of the fuel burning and everything is outside. But an electrical spark with vapors from a leaking gas tank or a leaking filler line or a leaking vent line could be totally explosive. I mean, it would just blow the whole boat up.
So is that, I mean, do you plan on making any other changes, or do you think that sniffer is kind of adequate to protect you from what you might be worried about after this?
Yeah. I mean, I think the nice thing about it is very simple to test. After I've done all the sniffing I want to do, I open my gas port and I put it there. And if it doesn't go crazy, then it's faulty. So as long as it's not faulty and it's not finding any vapors in the boat, you know, and I'll just have to do it like every time I'm going out, just a quick check on certain ports and make sure there's nothing in the bilge that it's sniffing.
Steve Lagos, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you, Marisa. Love you.
Love you, Dad. Bye.
Bye.
Aw, that's KQED's Marisa Lagos and her dad, Steve Lagos, a retired marine biologist and fisherman in San Diego.
Support for the California Report comes from Strauss Family Creamery, producing 100% organic milk in reusable glass bottles for more than 25 years, keeping 500,000 pounds of milk containers out of landfills every year. StraussFamilyCreamery.com. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Friday, September 6th, the production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin, Danny Bringer, Rob Spate, with additional engineering from Seal Muller and Jim Bennett. I'm Raquel Maria Dillon. Have a good day.